Dear Shooter, how much truth is there to the old wives' tales and common wisdom we have always heard? Does racking that shotgun really deter a home invader? Will my laser give me away? How much thought and logic has really gone into this type of thinking? Remember, just because it worked one time 20 years ago for one guy in Zimbabwe doesn't make it valid.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
All right, it's now, by this time in the week, we should all be out of our turkey coma, right?
Nope.
I guess we are recording on Monday.
Didn't eat the turkey.
I didn't either.
I ate all the turkey.
Oh, we had ribeye.
Yeah, that would have been easier to stop at one.
So, you handed me a list today, and it's all kind of the things that we grew up hearing. And it's most of these have been debunked 6 ways to Sunday.
Yeah, but nobody seems to listen because this was really born out of frustration from a phone call of a customer that I had this morning. And he was talking about all the reasons that he chooses his home protection gear.
All right. Okay. Let's get a little background here.
Yeah. He was going down the laundry list of, you know, all of his pistols have lights on them and...
Bad idea.
He absolutely refuses to put a laser on it because it'll give its position away.
What does the light do?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
No, well, and there's further complications with light. We'll get into that later. But
the devil's in the details. But right. He has an emotional attachment to some level of home invasion doctrine that he's preparing for that is probably going to get him in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, in more ways than one.
And first words out of his mouth. Well, it's probably never going to happen to me, but...
All right, so let's start there. This was number 5 on your list. It was, I'll be fine. I just call the police and help will be on the way.
Maybe.
Yes,
they will, but there's a time frame involved where you are still your first responder.
Right, and what's the average response time for law enforcement now? I know in Riverton it's, what, 6 years?
Just about.
It's still counting for one of the calls.
I mean.
I think in the cities you're seeing 10 minutes or so is on an average. Which means there are faster calls, there are longer calls. In a rural environment like where we live, you're looking 45 minutes to an hour.
30 to 45 minutes is what the sheriff told
you
me.
You have time and to plant flowers over the whole
year. Yeah, and he said that's if they're in the area. We live in the second largest county in the state. If they're, you know, up on top of South Pass, they're 2 hours away.
At least 2 hours away. Big county in the state of Wyoming. Fremont's pretty large.
I mean, it's huge. What, 9,900 and something acres? Or no, square miles.
Miles.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive. I mean, that's Rhode Island. And actually, part of Maine.
It's bigger than Rhode Island. Yes. Point is they're not going to get there in time for you to have any kind of meaningful help.
No.
They're going to sort it out after the fact. Best of their ability.
Right, which means you... Got to be able to handle it.
Our sheriff told us to just don't shoot the cherries. He'll
right.
be there
yeah,
eventually.
Yeah, he's coming in with lights. Don't shoot at the lights. That's what he told us.
You teach self-defense pistol handling. What is the average length of a confrontation, time-wise?
All right, so the main program that I teach covers in real time, in a real fight, about 4 to 6 seconds.
And now start to finish.
That is the ambush moment to the point you are shooting, and it's either resolved or you're now in a serious gunfight.
All right, so let's add 4 seconds to that because someone broke in a door to get to you.
Yep.
Home invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? If 10 minutes is the average response time in the country,
right,
you're going to be waiting for a while.
And, yeah, that bedroom door is only going to hold for so long.
Yeah.
And you think about the typical interior, they're usually a hollow core door without a real decent lock on it. I'm pretty sure my dog could kick one of those doors through.
My pit bull can.
Yeah.
They've done it.
Yeah. Oh, mine hasn't. Mine's a little more delicate than yours.
He heard the ceiling fan and decided he was coming through.
So, all right. So there's that.
These are just those annoying myths that people grab onto, and it keeps them warm at night about how they are either prepared or they think they're prepared for a home invasion scenario.
Right.
Right. There is a bunch of burglaries in this country.
Oh.
I mean, a bunch.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But burglaries, they cover a whole lot of whole different things because trying to find statistics on home invasions is crazy. It's hard.
Well, it's almost impossible, and the reason for that is the last 4 years, there has been almost every major city. I know Chicago, Denver, L.A., San Francisco, I believe Austin is on that list, New York. They're not reporting their crime statistics to the FBI to be compiled nationally because they want it to look like Biden's bringing down the crime rate.
Right.
So, in fact, they're up, and I did a little digging. They're up 19% on average, and if you break it down further, illegal immigrant crime is up almost 60%.
So the likelihood of it's going to happen to you just went up.
Right. And here's the crazy thing. You're talking burglaries and home invasions, and that seems to be the trend in probably the last 6 years is the active home invasions where there's 3 to 5 people coming through that door, and they don't care if you're home or not.
They used to care.
Right.
Right? But they don't want to be confronted while they're there. They would prefer that you're not there. And when they screw it up and they find out you are there and you're armed, it changes the dynamic real quick.
Right.
But we're talking about the prepared for a home invasion, home defense, setup, rig, whatever you want to talk about. There's some mindset involved. And if you think it won't happen to you, you can run that train for as long as it goes, but the numbers aren't in your favor.
Well, and you're talking about normalcy bias.
I mean, there's 2 million burglaries reported annually mm-hmm. in this country. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And you look at theft and home invasion and breaking and entering, you add to those numbers. You got lucky and you weren't home when it happened. But what happens if you are?
Right.
That is a, dang it, I forgot my glasses at work kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you missed them.
Right.
Or you didn't.
Right.
So, and you get down to the myths, right? I don't want to give my position away. Well, the flashlight and our laser both have different dynamics. They are going to give your position away to a certain extent. Laser less than a light.
Well, and I had a conversation with a Border Patrol agent, the late, great Ed Head, actually. And we were talking about this very thing, you having a light on your weapon. You know, and they would do this. You know, they're searching for coyotes, they're searching for illegals, they're searching for drugs, whatever, down on the border. And he's like, look, they know you're there. Flashing your light or keeping your light on or doing whatever you're going to do, they already know you're there. They already know where you're at. It's not making a difference at that point.
Well, in the decision matrix, having a light or a laser is a whole lot less intrusive to giving your position away to, hey, what are you doing here?
Right.
I'm going to shoot you, which everybody's very tempted to yell something out if something goes bump in the night.
Mm-hmm.
That tells everybody that's bad guy that you're aware.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that we teach is actually to not have a light on your defensive pistol. The reason being is that people will tend to use that light to search, and they're already in a heightened awareness. They're already, the adrenaline's going. What if you come around the corner and you see your kid and just, it startles you and you drive out and shoot.
Yeah, you've got a lot of explaining to do.
So we teach that it's better to have just a handheld flashlight, keep the gun in the holster, hand on it, you know, you're staging, right? So because you're always faster if your hand's already on the gun, but you're not searching with your gun.
That's a really good specific detail that a lot of folks don't think about.
I don't think they do. Now, it can be done. Police officers, but that's a different dynamic.
Different scenario.
But they're trained to search with that light on the weapon. Unless you've had the training, unless you've been in that environment and experienced that, I just don't think it's a good idea.
It's too tempting to use it like a searchlight. You're right. Absolutely right.
And you know, and now you're flagging everything that you shouldn't.
That's correct. But in a home invasion, you are kind of searching that thing out, and you want to be muzzle forward to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, but that's why we say, you know, have the gun staged or in some kind of a ready position. Because then you still have a little bit of lag time to make that decision and make the right one.
I agree.
Now, as far as lasers, I kind of like the idea of a laser, especially the grip lasers.
In the context of giving your position away is why people aren't using it. And unless your house is, you know, steamy or got a bunch of smoke and particulates in the air, it doesn't really give anything away. It puts a resemblance of a dot on your target. The beam itself is not visible.
No, and here's another advantage of it, too. It actually works to your advantage of not giving your position away because you can stay in cover, reach your gun around that cover, and still have a point of aim.
Oh, absolutely.
So, again, anybody that's trained in that environment, trained with that specific tool, understands how to use it to their advantage. It's not a drive out, hit the laser. That's not what they're intended for.
Right, but the myth that came across my desk that I was just boggled by, that there was a mindset about it, is it will give my position away.
Well, he's assuming the bad guys have knots.
I don't know how many super secret squirrel ninjas are running around out there breaking into houses with knots.
Not many.
I mean, the technology's getting more available. I think we're probably headed that way. But in the real world of today, I don't think it's an issue.
Sorry, guys. Buffalo Bill is not breaking into your house.
No.
Now, one of the other things that you talked about, and this is one that goes way back. I'm going to rack that shotgun.
All right. It is an iconic sound. Make no mistake about it. I have never been in the situation where I could rack the shotgun and then ask the would-be invader going, hey, was that sound scary?
Right.
We all know what it is. And if you're doing something bad in some place you shouldn't be, and you hear that sound, yes, your awareness is going to be heightened, and you might be looking for the exit. Sure, there's some psychology involved. But having a defunct shotgun just so you can make the sound is not a good plan.
No. And let me throw this out just to stir the pot. If your defensive firearm is a shotgun, and it is not already loaded and chambered and ready to go to work, what are you doing? That it goes back to that, I have time to put my seatbelt on before I get in an accident.
Yeah, no. And most home invasions that we're talking about are happening in the wee hours of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have your glasses off. You'll be groggy, coming to awareness, waking up to a sound that's not right. You have got to recognize you don't have all of your faculties right out of the gate.
No.
While I'm a fan of a shotgun for home defense.
Oh, I agree.
Use. For the ammo choices, for the specific proper penetration type of decisions you can make, for the somewhat of a pattern you're going to have. They also have their downsides to do home invasion stuff work as well. They're not as nice and tidy to work around a corner with.
No.
They're just not.
Nope. No, it's no different than running around with a Vietnam-era AR.
Well, and a lot of guys are anti-AR when it comes to using it in a home invasion. Because it's over-penetrated.
Oh, yeah, that's on your list, too. No, it's not. You have to have the right ammunition.
Again, the devil's in the details. You choose the right ammunition. Actually, in testing, buckshot penetrates way better than a 55-grain varmint round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a 55-grain varmint round is definitely anti-personnel.
Yes, but it's, I mean, it pretty much disintegrates on impact.
Correct.
So, it, you know, whether it hits a wall, whether it hits a person, whatever hits anything, you're essentially using frangible ammunition.
Right.
Which means once it hits something, it doesn't go any further.
Yeah, it comes apart and dumps all that energy into whatever.
Right. I mean, you might go through a wall, drywall on both sides, but there's not going to be anything left of it after that.
But 99% of the folks out there, their go-to is a 9mm pistol.
Right.
Which will go through
four walls
before it even comes close to. Because most folks run training ammo in their pistol, not critical duty stuff.
Yeah, which is bad, bad, bad.
So, again, think about what you're doing. And take these ideas that guys at the gun counter or trainers are trying to feed you and think about them a little bit before you employ them yourself. Because taking some of the doctrine is just bad.
Oh, and it's been that way for a while. I had a discussion with a student a few weeks ago, and we were talking about safety rules. I don't do the whole Jeff Cooper NRA 4 rules, and just because of the way they are written, the way they're stated. All guns are always loaded. I know that's one of the rules. And that's the one that really sticks with me. Because, no, they're not. Now, the way we talk about it is you always treat the gun as if it's loaded.
And that was the mindset when it was written, is you treat it as if all guns are always loaded. You always handle them in a manner and way which they're pointed in a safe direction. You check them for operational, whether they're loaded or not.
Right.
So, the essence of the statement is correct.
I get it, but you have to, like, the way you say it, your words have to have integrity. All guns are always loaded. No, they're not.
Well, they're not. They don't do you much good.
Right, but the thing is if when you word it as we're going to treat all guns as if they're loaded, that's a different statement than all guns are always loaded.
I agree with you.
And that's just one of those stupid things that sticks with me. Just like this. One of the things that you talked about in here, this is the anti-gun people love this one, is that you're more likely to be killed with your own gun.
Now that, I even cite the doctor's name who put out the study. And he's actually well known for cooking his statistics and manipulating his data.
Arthur Kellerman.
Yes, Mr. Kellerman did not take into effect a lot of factors in home protection use of a firearm. He didn't take into any of the statistics on self-hurt.
Oh.
He didn't take in any of those statistics. He didn't take in any of the statistics about homicides.
Right.
He was strictly focused on forced entry and assaults.
Okay.
All right. And 90% of the folks out there are poorly trained. They think they have a gun. They think they're safe. They haven't gone through any training. Those fallacies will contribute to your gun getting taken either from you or found and used on you. Most of the time, folks that break into your home, you know them.
Mm-hmm.
They've cased the place in advance. They know where shit's at.
Right.
So he didn't take into any of that in consideration on his little study. So, again, those statistics that led to that conclusion that the left loves to grab onto and use it to wedge safe storage and unloaded storage and locked storage prohibiting you to get to it in a timely manner are based off of this study.
Right.
And it's false in nature, and I think it was intentionally done so.
Well, that's statistics 101. You can manipulate any data to say whatever you want it to say just by, I'm only going to use this data. I'm not going to use this. You know, you see it all the time in political polls. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched it like crazy during the election. They would, well, Kamala's ahead by 4 points in this state. Well, yeah, that's because you surveyed 10,000 Democrats and 400 Republicans.
True. Well, for example, my house, right? I have one staged very close to me. I have one staged in my path to exit. I have one staged upstairs in case I get pinned. You don't know where it's at.
But so it's not. But
it's not going to be taken from me.
No, but I lean more and more towards it should be on you. Mm-hmm. Because then I'm not trying to get to a staged gun. It's on me.
Yeah, that makes sleeping naked weird.
No, see, that's for when the gun I have on me is out of ammo and I'm headed towards a stage to
Well, that's out. Fair enough. Your pistol's getting to you to your other pistol. I mean, New York Reload is totally valid.
Totally valid. But having a gun in the home, okay, maybe that would cause a problem because I have several.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And admit, I mean, a lot of people don't have that option.
But within arm's reach, pretty much anywhere I'm at in my home, I've got access.
Right.
But nobody knows where they're at. And I don't put them in necessarily a safe. I have several of those. Mm-hmm. But in a locked compartment where I can't get to it in a timely manner, especially without my glasses kind of frazzled at night, no, that's not where they live.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the quick access biometric safes.
They're good.
I love those things for like a bedside, especially if it's kids. Or even... I'm a huge advocate of this, and I catch hell for it, but stage one in your kid's room. Especially if they're younger, can't reach that top shelf in the closet. Because break glass in the middle of the night, where are you going?
Protect my kids.
That's right.
I don't care about my
so
stuff.
Why not have a gun there?
I mean, you're making a mistake breaking into my house, but I don't care about my stuff. You mess with my family, and that's worth getting active about.
Right. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, most people, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go for their kids.
Yes.
And if they don't, what's wrong with you?
There's a disconnect. Absolutely right.
I mean, can make more.
Okay, fine. There's that mentality. I can make more or, you know, these ones really aren't working out.
So just go ahead and just go around the bar here real quick. What is it that you stage for your first access for your home defense firearm? What is it?
My staged?
What your first access?
I have two. So my carry gun is usually on my nightstand next to my flashlight that I carry in my pocket.
Okay.
If for whatever reason that's not available or whatever, I reach into the drawer underneath. I've got a VP9 and a flashlight.
So two pistols.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate access for you, two handguns.
Mm-hmm.
Both 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What ammo's in them?
I run Hornady Critical Duty.
Okay, so a frangible, man-stopping type ammo.
Yep.
All right, ready?
I have my VP9 and my Rock Island 380.
Again, two pistols. Okay. What ammo's in them?
The
same thing.
Same stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a VP9, ready access, and I have a Judge, Taurus Judge 410. And it is loaded with buckshot, it's loaded with birdshot, and slugs. And they ratchet up in severity as I squeeze the trigger.
I do that with my shotgun. It starts out with a rubber slug, goes to birdshot, goes to buckshot, goes to slugs.
And I would counsel you against the rubber slug. There's no reason to be nice.
I'd like to give them a chance to stay alive.
I've been hit with a rubber slug.
They suck.
They suck. They hurt real bad, but you're still being nice.
If I don't have to kill somebody... Because, I mean, let's face it, that's a lot of freaking paperwork.
The lock's on my door for your protection, not mine.
I don't disagree, but you know what? A body's a lot of paperwork. And I got to call 811, and I got to wait 4 days for him to do a locate.
The rubber slug is for when he's on the carpet. He's not allowed to expire people on the carpet.
Well, I guess
that is true. That yeah, is they got to be on the hardwood because that's easier to clean.
Yeah, but I mean... You own a backhoe. The idea that you're being nice is dumb.
I know, but God, you know how long it takes to get a locate out here?
Don't tell me for a second you haven't already located a spot to bury something.
Maybe. So, all right. So you got you've got your VP9, you got your Judge.
Yes.
Any long guns?
Yes, but they're in a different room. They're on my way out of the house.
Mm-hmm. That's us too, because 99.9% of the time we're dealing with the four-legged predators out here.
Fair enough.
And truthfully, I hear that bump in the night that's not in the house. The AR is going to be my go-to, because chances are it's a coyote, it's a fox, it's somebody's dog.
Sure.
Causing problems, killing livestock, whatever.
And a rifle's a good solution in that circumstance.
Well, a rifle's kind of your only solution to that circumstance, because they're not going to let you get close enough with a pistol.
I've seen you make shots that I don't know that I could do.
Well, luck counts.
Fair enough.
And why do you think after I made that shot, I unloaded the gun, put it on the table, and asked the rest of the class if they wanted to try?
And just out of perverse curiosity, those of you guys listening out there, I'd love to just learn, what's your first access? What do you have handy? So chime in. Hit us on the website or the email
Website's
address.
Website's not up yet.
Oh, gosh dang it. When will the website be up?
You want to bite me since no one's helping me with it?
You're putting her on spot.
The biting will happen later, but okay, fair enough. We don't know yet. But you do have a way for them to contact us, I would
hope. They can get a hold of us on Podbean. Just leave a message.
Okay.
But yeah, what do you have and how do you stage it? And I'm curious as the circumstances too.
What are you preparing for? How does that go down in your head?
Oh, what are you preparing for?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a rabbit hole.
It's a home defense situation. So we've kind of pigeonholed it to a series of type of events, right? Mm-hmm. Is it one dude rummaging, looking for booze or money so he can go buy drugs? Is it a group of folks trying to steal a bunch of shit?
Right.
Is it somebody looking for you?
Yeah, good question.
Right? I mean, those are all different scenarios.
I don't ask questions. I shoot first.
Well, you do. What was that line? Shoot first, shoot again, shoot some more, and then if anybody's alive, try and ask a question or two?
They're not going to answer me.
Well, let's pay some bills, and then we'll go down another rabbit hole. The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for. I still got to update that because it's 15% off now.
Yeah.
Got to get people to use it.
I know.
What's the problem, y'all? Don't you like bourbon?
Right? And they have vodka. They have brandy. They have cordial. They have all kinds of good stuff.
The honey.
Honey.
The barrel-aged honey is amazing.
Really? I have not had that.
It's phenomenal.
I'll have to try it. So, all right. So, I think in our scenario, now we've had one. We had a crackhead come up from the lake, walk barefoot through our pasture. he was trying to get a ride, probably because he had somebody looking for him. I know he had a warrant out for him. So we had that. Now, hopefully, since I've fixed some fence, he can't just crawl through a fence now. Takes
He'd
a little more work.
Through it. He was so high.
Oh, I know, but he ain't walking through that fence now. Like it takes some work to get over that fence now. But I guess the thing that not necessarily keeps me up at night, but the one thing I kind of think about is, I mean, at the end of the day, the area that we're at, we're surrounded by reservation, and I don't think of myself as a racist, but we don't have the nicest Indians.
Some of them are problematic.
So I could see, and not even necessarily being specifically targeted, but just target of opportunity, them looking to steal whatever they could to go and pawn off and buy more booze. I mean,
I got
to
tell you, your guys' property's nice. Your house is nice. It's well kept. It makes it kind of paint with a target brush because you have a nice place. Idea is you have nice stuff on the inside, too.
Right.
Neato. So I'll just let all the weeds grow.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
that's so nice.
We have friends that live not too far away, and he looks like a hobo lives in his front yard that collects old cars.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's robbing that house because it doesn't look like he has anything.
No.
Again, that perception of, right?
Right. Well, and that's part of why, you know, I the vehicles are in the garage. The equipment's parked in the shop. I mean, it's out of sight. Don't let them see what you have.
It's never a good idea.
And that goes back to something that you had on here. You know, use all of the deterrents that are available to you. Lock your doors. Use security lights. I mean, we have all kinds of lights around here that are motion activated and solar, so they don't die. You can't really walk around this property without getting a light put on you.
All the exterior doors in my house are solid, substantial doors.
Mm-hmm. All of our, well,
they're not kick-inable very easy.
We have a couple of glass doors that you could probably walk right through if you had the right
hammer. You have to get through the blinds in the center of the glass. It's one of those.
But you also have a dog.
We do.
And
I guarantee you, your dog's going to alert his presence to whoever it is before they touch the door. And they got to be committed to come into a house with an angry pit bull.
True.
Right. So dogs are on the list.
Yeah, dogs are on the list.
I'm sorry, a cat's not exactly quite the deterrent.
No, and neither's a Pomeranian. So if you're going to have a dog for a deterrent, get a dog that's a deterrent.
Correct. And usually they're big babies and they love you, but
oh yeah.
At the end of the day,
most
of them
are. You've
got to be committed to come into a house with a dog.
Well, and you have security cameras on the list.
Yeah, get some Tacticam cameras. They're not expensive.
Exactly. Their Defend series is awesome.
They're really pretty economical.
They are.
Even the service is pennies a day.
I think we pay $13 a month. I mean, that's unlimited.
Yeah.
And we're running two cameras. Now, if you add the rechargeable batteries and the solar pack, that brings the cost up. I think you're somewhere in the $250-$275 range per unit.
And the beauty of these things, you can mount them anywhere.
You can mount them anywhere, and there's no limit to how many cameras you can have. We were talking to one of the girls from Tacticam. She has 70 of these things.
Well, she is a professional hunting guide.
Well, okay, but still, 70 in multiple countries, multiple states.
And they're all on one.
And they're all on one account.
Yeah.
Now, how you keep track of what the hell camera you're looking at, I don't know. Because I'm sitting here, we're looking at our property. We have two at this point. And I'm looking at adding probably six more. And I'm like, how am I going to keep track of these? But I think once I get into the app, and I haven't explored it a whole lot because it's still new to me, I'm pretty sure you can name your cameras.
Yes. So almost every security camera system I've ever looked at, you can name your feed and how it comes to you. Like the ones I have at the office. I got south parking lot. I've got driveway. I've got front door. I've got bays. They're all named.
Now, wait a minute.
Did you rename your camera today when you changed
that,
the angle?
I did.
But that
my
requires
today.
You. You said you got south parking lot. That requires you to know cardinal directions.
Yes. I do know that. Nobody else is looking at my feed but me.
Doesn't even matter if it's really south. That's what he named it.
As long as you know what feed it is. But no, I mean, this is a good thing. And one of the ones that I've seen lately, and I believe they are actually very economical, especially if you are more city-oriented. I will admit, I think the Defend, the Tacticam version, I think it is better suited to a more rural environment. SimpliSafe is a great security system.
The Tacticams are cellular-based.
Right.
And as long as you've got a service signal out there, you can get your images and your videos. My ones at the office, they're Wi-Fi based. So they have.
Your power goes out, you're screwed.
I've got a little bit of an issue. I got a generator that keeps those circuits running. But at the end of the day, you got to be prepared with a little bit more infrastructure to keep those things running.
Right, right. But, you know, the one that I have looked at that I really like, and unfortunately, it doesn't work in our environment because we don't have the infrastructure to be able to support it. And I'm talking the high-speed Wi-Fi and things like that, even though, you know, we're We're on Starlink, so I mean we have good Wi-Fi, but it doesn't extend. So it's hard to maintain that signal to like a monitoring service. But for those that are living in cities or in places that actually have good service and good Wi-Fi, and I've been really impressed with the SimpliSafe systems. And their monitoring services, they're something like $300 a year. And you've got somebody that can live feed, talk to an intruder, you know, hey, what are you doing here? Who are you? Police have been called. They're on the way. That's a huge deterrent.
One of the better deterrents I ever ran across is I had a student one time that had birds and a Rottweiler. He named the Rottweiler Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And if something was go bump in the night, the bird would talk to the intruder. He needs to say, Jesus knows you're here. That's unnerving to a would-be intruder, I got to tell you.
Right. Now, one thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we have birds, too. Trouble just ask them what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, then that's a valid. I mean, you hear a voice. You don't always necessarily tie it to a bird.
Now, one thing that I was actually thinking about this today after I saw this list, and with home security systems. Now, I think they're advanced enough with, you know, professional monitoring and things like that. But I worry with the absolute proliferation of home security systems now. Is it going to become like car alarms were 20 years ago when they first came out, 30 years ago?
They get ignored.
Right, because they're constantly going off.
Yep.
Or they're not so much getting ignored, but the police don't have the bandwidth to respond to all of them.
No, and that's where you want a service that has a guy that if the alarm goes off, he reviews your system situation. They will make a phone call to find out, one, if you're home. If you're not home, they introduce themselves. They tell you what the alert and alarm is.
Right.
Right? They have the ability to dispatch if the situation warrants it.
Right.
The 911 call. And 911 dispatch prioritizes those folks because they know it's a legitimate call.
Right, right. So that's why I think having, you know, if you have the ability, having something that's professionally monitored like that.
It's a good idea.
If you don't have a lot of money to get started out before we even got the Tacticam, we have a stupid dog treat camera, and it covers my back door and my front door just because where it's sitting and the angle, you have to throw the treats in a place that doesn't launch to the couch.
If you're doing this on a budget, the nanny cams,
right.
the baby monitors, they have a lot of alert systems on them now that are quite handy. And they're economical. They're affordable.
Our baby camera will alert us if there's motion in the room if I set it up.
That's right.
Motion and sound.
Maybe we should.
There's a lot of options out there.
I didn't even think about that, but you're exactly right. That does alert you to a lot of stuff.
The baby camera has night vision.
That's right.
And that's just in a baby monitor.
Right. And what did you pay for that thing? It was like $40.
Something like that, but it doesn't have the feed like the dog camera. I can save a video or I can save pictures off of it, which the baby camera, I don't know if
it's just a straight live feed.
So,
but still, I mean, having that ability
goes a long way.
But doesn't the baby monitor, doesn't that, because I know you have it on your phone, doesn't it alert you if there's movement, if there's whatever?
It will if I set it up to.
Right. So, even if you're sitting at work and you have one of these set up, you're going to get a ping on your phone that says, hey, something's going on.
That's right.
That's huge because now you have the ability to monitor it and go, ooh, somebody's breaking into my house. Call the police.
It also has two-way speaker on it. So
right.
You can speak in as well as, hearing what they do.
Right. And I think something like that is absolutely huge. You know, you're not there, but you're sitting there talking to an intruder going, hey, I know you're there. I've got you on camera. And the police have been called.
Yeah, and I had a system on a truck that was a security system. And I actually had my truck stolen when I was in Austin.
It's in Guadalajara now.
No, I called my truck and came over the speaker in my truck. And I said, hey, I know you've got my truck. I know where you're at. Cops have been called. They found my truck abandoned on the side of the road. He wanted nothing to do with it once he found out he was being tracked.
Right. Well, as much as I'm against, you know, satellite monitoring and things of our vehicles, in that kind of an instance, it's kind of handy. I mean, OnStar can shut down my truck.
Yeah, unwind your tinfoil just a little bit. Yes, they can. But at the end of the day, I'm not a super fan of the Big Brother overreach either. But those systems are really there for your security.
They are. And
really, they're not looking at you. You're boring. So they've got better people to watch.
You're not high enough on the list yet.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to work
on
that.
Pump those numbers.
To work on that. So what about you? I mean, you live on the golf course. What are you worried about for a home invasion or burglary?
In my world, the biggest thing that happens quite frequently, actually, in the neighborhood that I live in, is they'll pull into the driveway as if they are a service person. And they'll access the home, steal what they want. You maybe even pull in the garage and shut the door so they have total privacy at doing it, right? We've had several cars stolen out of the garage in which they were in, door shut, jewelry stolen off the top of the dresser. If you leave it out and available, you really don't want it. So keep that in mind.
Right.
You let your dog leave all his toys out, and then that's a trip hazard.
Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. And I have dogs. So I'm not horribly worried about an intruder when I'm not home. It's
really
when I am home.
Well, even when you are home. I've gotten into your house before daylight and sat in a room with your dogs who said nothing.
You. Yeah. No, anybody else, they raise holy hell. But you, no, they're just looking for scratches.
Well, pro tip. So, don't let your wife rearrange your house. You know where the furniture's at. So, if you have to maneuver around in the dark, you know where you're going. But then, your wife gets wild hair and redecorates for Christmas. And now I don't know where shit's at. I'm tripping over everything.
Well, you travel.
I do travel. All right.
So, on one of these travels, she's re-seasoning the house. And next thing you know, you come in middle of the night, right? You have probably told her you're coming home.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't come home unannounced.
Yeah. See, there it is. Have a plan. Because if you did happen to screw that up and come home unannounced, you have to walk in the door with the "don't shoot me." Because right out of the gate, she's going to hear the door and go to alarm mode.
Yep.
And if you don't have that communication down right, you might get ventilated.
Not to mention there's a chair in front of one of the doors now.
Well,
so
that's when you shoot him after he stubbed his toe and can't walk anymore.
No, and that's another thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, like communicating with your family, you know, especially those that travel for work. If you're coming home late, you know, maybe you got a flight delayed or something like that, I'm not going to get home till like 1 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's asleep, and you come in there and, yeah, the house has been rearranged, and you don't know where you're going, and now you trip over the couch and break the glass on the coffee table. Or
Well, and this leads to a very important topic. Know the laws in your state.
Yes.
There was a guy, mid-90s, broke into a home in New Mexico, tripped over the coffee table, broke his leg on his fall. He sued the homeowner for his broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
And won.
There's been a lot of crap like that, and I will never understand how judges allow these to go to trial.
Well, the laws in the state didn't protect the castle.
Trespassing,
right? So, do you have the responsibility to retreat?
Right.
Do you have castle doctrine?
And that was one thing I know Wyoming, that for the longest time we had castle doctrine, but we also had duty to retreat. Now they've now fixed that, because you're in your home. Where do I retreat to?
Correct.
That always stuck with me, but they have since fixed that. So with castle doctrine, and we've reinforced it to the point where if you are anywhere that you have a right and reason to be, that is considered your castle.
Correct. But in some states, it's not that way.
No.
So you have to prepare differently.
And I will tell you guys right now, USCCA's website is a great resource to know these state laws. That's one, and I use it all the time because I do travel so much. And I was looking at a trip to have to go to North Carolina. And I'm sitting here, I'm going, I'm going to have to cross like seven states. I needed to know the laws in every one of those states because I was going pretty heavily armed.
Sure. Absolutely right. Another thing is, if you are preparing for this, you're accepting that someone might get shot.
Right. Right?
And if you're on the winning side of that argument, you need to understand that the USCCA. I screw that up all the time.
Wow.
But their insurance is good.
It's great.
It's a great preparatory protection because you're going to go to jail.
Yep.
They're going to take your gun.
Yep.
And they will sort it out, hopefully. But in the interim, in the meantime, at least you have somebody that's in your corner.
Right.
Right? Without it, you're kind of twisting in the wind.
And one of the great things about it is, you know, it's not something where it's a reimbursement type thing. You make that phone call, and they assign you an attorney that is actually trained in self-defense law.
Correct.
Like, that's what they do. And they're going to get them to you as fast as they possibly can. In a major city, that's probably going to be minutes. You know, out here, we might have to sit overnight. But still, you've got that advocate. You know, and I'll leave you guys with this. So there's two things. Number one, I'm not going to say anything to the cops. I'm going to just ask for my attorney. I think that's a dumb tactic. I think you need to be able to articulate, look, someone broke into my house. They were threatening me. They were threatening my family. I had to do what I had to do. But leave it at that.
In that moment, though, you have to ask the law enforcement professionals for help.
Yes.
If you act like a suspect, they'll treat you as one.
Right, right. And the other thing I would say with that, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit, if somebody does break in and you have done what you had to do, you've accepted that possibility and somebody did get shot. Now, there's two schools of thought on this is, well, you know, I shot somebody in my home and I'm going to render aid. And I don't believe in that. I think if you've had to shoot somebody in your home, I'm not going to render aid because that puts me in a position where now I have to go hands-on with somebody who may still be able to kill me.
Rendering an aid to the bad guy is not your responsibility.
No.
It is your responsibility to be able to render aid in case somebody, friend or family, got injured in the altercation.
That's right.
Being able to do that is a very handy thing if you like your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
But to the bad guy, you don't have any responsibility there.
No, no. And I think there's more risk involved in doing that than not. You know, legal, moral, and even risk to your health and well-being.
Agreed.
So I with that, you know, don't blame the gun. Make sure you got the right ammo in it.
Have a plan.
Get trained. And look, guys, if you're looking, you know, if you've got this in your head, get with a good instructor and tell him, you know, this is what I've got, because he's going to wring out the kinks. He's going to make you proficient at executing your plan and maybe give you some insights that you hadn't thought about.
Great plan.
So I guess until then, if you screw this up, you can just keep blaming your gun.